You're listening to KXLU Los Angeles, 88.9 FM, and the program is Echo in the Sense. That's the Public Affairs and Arts Show here at KXLU. I'm the host, Christine Palma. And tonight, I have interviews from Art Platform Los Angeles, which is an art fair which took place over the weekend of September 28th through September 30th. We'll hear from Rachel Lee Havnonian, who created a performance art piece, a virtual cafe, at the fair. Next, we'll have a talk with Laura Blaureau from Bitforms Gallery, a new media gallery out of Chelsea in New York. And then we have an original composition by Steve Roden that was commissioned by ExoJet and performed in a Challenger 300 jet during the opening night of Art Platform Los Angeles. And Steve Roden is a sound artist as well as a visual artist who just had a show at LACE, LA Contemporary Exhibitions. We round out the program with an interview with Jason Ramos from RAID Projects as well as Artra Curatorial. And Artra Curatorial selected a group of galleries and art collectives to be part of the fair. They're from all over the world as well as local to Los Angeles. Here are my interviews from Art Platform Los Angeles. I'm with Rachel Lee Havnonian.
Rachel Lee Havnonian.
Her paintings look like fields of narcissus, flowers, but in silver leaf. Beautiful. But she has a cafe here at the fair. Can you tell us about the cafe?
I brought this interactive installation from New York. I had a show called Mud Pie in New York this past spring in May. I was very lucky that Adam Gross said, I've got to have this in for the LA Fair, and it's been so much fun. So basically, it's a dream awake state of a Texas cafe. Cafes were where people sort of connected to each other, but we don't need them anymore. They're closing down because we have fast food, and we also have our way of connecting to people through our personal devices. So I created this dream awake state. I videoed the countryside outside of Nacogdoches, which I have being played on high definition video monitors behind windows, And then I've got two waitresses with Twitter hashtags as their name. They are not from Texas, but they have a Texas accent. They never get out of character. They say that they are from Texas. And I worked with a food chemist and created food. Having grown up with astronauts' kids in Houston, Texas, it was the advent of Tang. And I would say to my mother, who ran a cooking school, I'd say, can I have Tang? And she said, why would you want Tang when it's synthetic? The first thing I ever made that was synthetic, I felt was real, was a mud pie. And getting my hands dirty, it felt so real to me. And now I'm walking to my studio these days, and as I'm walking, I'm so sucked into my personal device, I'm not looking around, and I'm so busy Twittering and talking to who, I don't know who I'm talking to, avatars. So I stop into the deli, and I have a selection of 30 different kinds of power bars to choose from. So I'm eating my power bar, I'm talking to somebody I don't know who I'm talking to, and I said, oh my God, I'm living the synthetic world. So basically, I like interactive. I think it helps explain conceptual work. So thus, Motherboards, which is the sculptural work of the Narcissus flower, is based on the Narcissus looking at himself in the mirror. And for me, every time I get a text, I can't pull myself away from that screen because I know it's about me. There are thousands of metal flowers that are tied into an actual motherboard. So
they're gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I love being in LA. LA is like an amazing art scene, it's a thriving art scene, and it's just so exciting to be here. I'm thrilled.
And next, we visit Rachel Lee Havnonian's Cafe Waitresses.
What do you have here?
Well, I got anything on this menu on the house. I got coffee, lemonade, orange juice, bacon,
and
tacos.
And that's all fresh. We squeezed those ourselves this morning.
Oh,
those lemons,
sweetness.
Oranges.
Yeah,
chew in the mood for some. Your whistle.
Could I try the barbecue pork?
You barbecue betcha. Pork. We are big on the pig. I want to go on the record, big on the pig.
Now, why are you laughing like that, sweetness? Right. You ain't never had pork before?
Sis, is it Texan pork?
Not only is it Texan pork, it's some of the only pork left in town. I hear they're having a pork apocalypse. My lord.
Not here they aren't. We're hoarding pigs.
You
where
betcha.
We are.
How was that now?
Thank you. It's delicious.
How about something to wet your whistle to, darling?
How about some lemonade?
You betcha. Now, I'm going to warn you about this here lemonade. It's the freshest in town. I was up this morning squeezing these here lemons.
Okay, let's take a picture.
All right. Not going to be able to drink lemonade after you have this lemonade. You're going to come all the way back to Nacogdoches, Texas, my lord. All right, whereabouts are you from, sweetness?
I'm from KXLU. It's a local radio station. I'm visiting from Los Angeles.
My lord, you came all the way from Los Angeles. What's that, like, 90210?
Yes.
Ma, with all them Hollywood folk?
Yes.
That's amazing. What brought you to this part of Texas?
What's that?
I came for this cafe. I heard about it.
For this little here cafe?
Yes.
My lord, what were they saying? Were they saying they loved our pie?
They said the food's delicious.
And what do you think?
What is this on your tag there?
There's my name at Cafe Waitress. You on the Twitter?
Yeah.
Well, there's my Twitter handle as well. I mean, I don't understand how anyone could stay connected nowadays without their Twitter.
So you're on at Cafe Waitress. And who's this on my right? Can you describe him?
That there's Pete. Don't mind him. People think he's being rude. He ain't. He's just on his Twitter sometimes. You know, sometimes he'll tweet me his order. He just sits there on Angry Bird. It's real fun, though, lately. We've been having all these international folk coming by. I say, I feel like I have the World Wide Web right here at my counter. It's amazing the things that pass through here.
I feel really special. Thank you.
You're welcome, darling. It was so nice to meet you.
Next, we jump from virtual world to new media. This is an interview with Laura Blaireau from Bitforms Gallery out of Chelsea in New York.
I'm with Laura Blaireau from Bitforms Gallery, and you are in Chelsea in New York.
That's right. We're on 20th Street, really close to the High Line, which is a new park that's in development in Chelsea.
And you are a new media gallery.
Yeah, a lot of the art that we work with either conceptually or technically relates to new media. It's a wide variety of artists with multimedia interests, ranging from film to electronic music, classical music, also related to just traditional histories and trajectories of art history. Software art also plays a factor, kinetic art. It's a really wide range of artists. Our eldest on the roster is in his late 70s, and the youngest would be in his late 20s.
How did you come to get involved with this gallery?
I've been interested in art my whole life, and when I moved to New York, one of the galleries that really caught my attention was Bitforms Gallery when it opened in 2001 because of its unique focus. At the time, there were a bunch of exhibitions and museums that were related to new media. Considering the word digital at the time, that was really the way to understand works that were using these new tools. I think what's interesting today is that in this field, as it's evolved, there's an interest also in the obsolescence, you know, of tools and understanding the body and another media as it relates to technology today. I really was interested in the gallery because of its wide approach and interest and vision in many different facets, like philosophically and also creatively. The Kitchen is another place that I really, really, really love in New York. The Kitchen is a space on 19th Street, just basically down the road from our gallery. At the time that I first saw Bitforms, when it first opened, I was doing an internship at The Kitchen, and they were founded in 1973 and are known for their works with Laurie Anderson and Steve Reich and all these artists that were breaking boundaries in the New York underground music scene. And they also were very early in video art as well. For me, the link was quite simple as far as like an updated and commercial vision for similar kinds of work.
So let's walk around and you can tell me a bit about a few of the artists. This is the one that caught my attention first.
Sure, this is a sculpture from Daniel Canegar. This piece is quite colorful. He's from Madrid, Spain, and this is a piece that uses telephone cable. He's really interested in discarded media and reanimating this kind of lifeless or obsolete technology. And In doing so, he actually is using light as a means to project some sort of lifeblood into it. Basically, the light is moving up and down these cables. It's contained in this kind of coiled mass in between these two blocks. There's a projector that's shooting light onto the sculpture, and it appears as if there is this movement up and down each and every wire in this coil.
And you said that he found this mass of wires. It's red, yellow, blue, orange, white, a few blocks from his studio in the trash?
That's right. His studio is near the municipal city dump in Madrid, so he sources all kinds of electronic waste. He has computers and old monitors, VHS tapes. He finds some things at, like, junk sales as well.
What about this one? This is an established artist.
This is another work that's with light. It's a piece that uses a laser, actually, that cuts across about 8 planes of plexiglass on a shelf. And it creates these beautiful points of light that create a plane using these green points of light. Erwin Rettel's the artist. He's from Austria. He showed with Ace Gallery in the past. He has a public installation that's up at the W Hotel in Hollywood. In New York, the way I first encountered his work was in 2002 at the Whitney Biennial, and he covered the museum actually in a veil of LEDs. His pieces really have a tempo to them and how he's managing the light. And as we're looking at the sculpture, you can see every 15 seconds or so, the lights kind of flicker in and out. There are also these really beautiful cascades that shoot off onto the wall as the refracted light also bounces off the plexiglass.
And then you have a showstopper here.
What we're looking at right now is a piece from Rafael Lozano Hemmer, and he's an artist from Mexico City. And the name of the piece is The Year's Midnight, which is named after the first three words in a poem about St. Lucy. And what we're seeing right now is a whole family gathered around in front of this video screen, which also has a video camera connected to it. It's a 50-inch flat screen, basically in a vertical position. Everyone's pretty animated around this piece because the eyes of each viewer in front of the piece actually is they're removed, and there are plumes of smoke floating around their heads. The kind of like in the representations of St. Lucy, where her eyes are in a plate, along the bottom of the screen you have an archive of these eyes of people who have looked at the piece.
How does it find the eyes?
So it finds the eyes with motion tracking software using the aid of the computer. He's developed a software where he can track the people that visit his installations. He's used this for many other purposes in his installations. For example, the piece at the SF MoMA moved these tube light throughout the architecture of the space. In this case, the eyes, as they move in front of the camera, also cause the plumes of smoke to move across the picture plane of the video.
Now let's walk around over here. There's one more artist. He's interesting, Luc Dubois. This one's called Pop Icon Britney. Let's talk about him, though.
Yeah, so Luc Dubois is an artist who was trained in musical composition. He has a PhD, actually, from Columbia University. He studied music before finding his way into art. He was kind of active in the ambient scene, so he was making records with DJ Spooky. This is in the late 90s. Now he has a work on view in the gallery in our booth called Pop Icon Britney, and he's basically remixing these videos from Britney Spears, like all of her whole archive videos. So Luke also is a programmer. He created a software called Jitter, which is an audiovisual real-time matrix data suite that allows him to manipulate sound and video simultaneously. So he's employing that in the creation of this piece. After he has his composition with the sound, though, he's running it through a processor that allows a gothic architecture reverb to take place in the sound mix. That works also with the concept of the piece. It's called Pop Icon Britney, and he's interested in like Russian icons. In the case of Britney Spears, everything we know of her is completely edited and artificial. What he's attempted to do in this sound mix is actually strip down her vocals to the bare essentials and create sort of a choral mix of all of her music videos.
He is also a composer.
Luc Dubois writes scores. He also is very active with Issue Project Room, which is an experimental music and new music venue in New York.
What's this piece that you were talking about earlier called Billboard?
Billboard is a piece that Luc Dubois made in 2006 that basically takes every single song that was number one ever in the Billboard charts, and he takes a clip of it so that 1 second in the audio of his artwork is equivalent to 1 week on the Billboard chart. So this is like a 35-minute piece or so that covers years and years, decades of history of music. And you are able to hear, through the way that he's analyzing, kind of smooshing the frequencies of any one song, you're able to hear like the frequencies that were dominant in audio recording in those years. And also there are certain keys that are very popular. I believe key F shows up in the 1970s. There's so many Bee Gees songs that were number one. So yeah, it's a really fun piece.
Also at Art Platform Los Angeles, I was very excited to be able to hear 4 8-minute compositions commissioned by ExoJet from Steve Roden, who is a sound and visual artist. And what's unique about this is that the performance happened in a Challenger 300 jet with the jet functioning as a giant surround sound speaker, the interior of the jet. Tonight we're able to play a piece provided by the artist called Long Parkfield.
Thank you.
And that was one of four compositions by Steve Roden, a sound and visual artist here in Los Angeles. It was commissioned by ExoJet to be performed, or it was performed on the opening night of Art Platform Los Angeles in a Challenger 300, with the interior of the Challenger 300 jet functioning as a giant surround sound speaker. Very cool. And we finish up tonight's recap of Art Platform Los Angeles with an interview with Jason Ramos from Raid Projects, but also Artra, which curated CoLab, a collection of nonprofit art galleries and art collectives at Art Platform Los Angeles.
I'm at CoLab, which is put on by Artra. It's a collective of nonprofit galleries exhibiting here. I'm with Jason Ramos. Hello, and you're also with Raid Projects. What are you doing with CoLab?
I'm with Artra Curatorial, and we helped put on the whole CoLab thing. It's basically a venue for alternative spaces, nonprofits, artist-run spaces, and any kind of independent art venues. We did it last year using space that Art Platform provided at the LA Mart, and it was just all LA spaces last year. And this year we decided to open it up to spaces from all over the world, including Mexico City, Berlin, Amsterdam, even American cities like Chicago and Salt Lake City. I mean, we try to think of CoLab as a complementary counterpart to Art Platform being a commercial art fair. We decided to take this opportunity to show sort of the other side of the LA art scene, the sort of the more non-commercial side. Most of these spaces are very DIY, alternative, or artist-run things. And with this edition, being from spaces all over the world, we wanted to just kind of show how this was a global phenomenon, happens all over the place. We do this on a completely voluntary basis. We don't charge the exhibitors anything for their booths. So they were more than happy to show up and do this and sort of present themselves to this global commercial art audience.
So why don't we walk through here and you can point out some things.
Right here is a space. This is sort of a joint space from House Gallery in Los Angeles and also Gallery Lara in Tokyo. And they've sort of teamed up to put on this thing here. You can see a lot of these are from artists from Japan and LA, including Satoshi Sagusa here on the side wall here with a sculptural. Satoshi works in the realm of kind of elements of soft sculpture. It's almost always abstract and it's very colorful. It's kind of soft. It's almost like upholstered fabric, but again, very painterly. A lot of sort of paint splattered on about.
If you didn't point that out, I would say it was ceramic. Like, I didn't know that soft sculpture.
It's totally soft sculpture, right? If there's anything in general I would say about it, make use of a lot of the kind of craft traditions in terms of using material, especially Mitsuko Akeno. She uses ceramic and gilded bronze or something here.
It's gold. I actually met the artist earlier.
Oh, yeah.
It's made out of gold.
Sure,
and it looks like a gold creature. It looks like a Murakami creature, actually.
It's vaguely humanoid with some mouth kind of things, kind of creepy, kind of strange. It's pretty great. This is a booth by Weekend Gallery. Weekend is located in Los Feliz area of Los Angeles. They're a fantastic artist-run space, co-run by John Mills over here. They've got some work here by Carlson Hatton, who's really great.
He's a professor at Santa Monica College.
That's right, that's correct. And this is the album of his artwork here. I like it, it's very colorful. It's a lot of times it seems like women undressing, but in totally abstracted, a lot of pattern, a lot of painterly use of these sort of a patterning and collage all on paper. It's pretty fantastic.
And it looks like it's made out of a combination of watercolor, ink, graphite maybe, and gouache.
Yeah, it's a lot of mixed media in there, but it's totally painterly, totally making use of pattern. It looks abstract from a distance, but up close you can start to see these sort of more figurative forms. Pretty great. Let's keep moving around over here. Okay, this booth here, this is Durden and Ray. This is a Los Angeles-based artist collective. It's about 16 or 17 artists that make up this. You know, John Flack here is a nice representational, kind of photorealistic painter. Next name is Emily Counts, usually a sculptor, but does these fantastic, very sort of washy, expressionistic paintings of these, again, similar to Mitsuko Kano, using ceramics and some other things. Durden and Ray is an artist collective. It's a group of artists, and they put on sort of pop-up nomadic shows in whatever location. They don't have a permanent fixed location.
Is that a trend in Los Angeles, these pop-up shows?
No, it's a trend in the art world in general, and if you don't have a permanent fixed space, you don't have the cost of overhead, so it's a pretty good option for a lot of artists.
And then how do they get the word out?
The way everybody else does, through Facebook and email and all the other good. Max Presnell is part of the Artra team, is a member of this group also. This is one of the international spaces. This is PS from Amsterdam, run by Jan van der Ploeg.
And this is pretty stunning. It's a room made out of wallpaper that's pink.
It's a half-tone dots that if you look at an angle or straight on, you can vaguely see the ghostly image of Kate Moss emerging from the half-tone dots. And then they use that as the basis for this whole installation that they put up here with a lot of different 2D artwork here that I don't know too much about, but it's all pretty fantastic. But again, PS is an artist-run space from Amsterdam that we've known for a while, and we were more than happy to invite them out here. So.
Do you see a lot of cross-pollination between countries?
Sure, definitely.
Stylistically?
Stylistically, not so much, but in terms of sort of the ethos of artists taking on the roles of curator or gallery director or writer or teacher or all these other things that they do sort of outside of the studio, like an extra studio practice, we see that a lot. That happens all over the place. And that's always my advice to artists who are struggling to show or get out there. It's like, well, do it yourself. Put on a show, curate other people in it, find a venue, make something else happen. And when you do that, you have to include other people. And the byproduct of that is a community gets created because other people want to be a part of that. And that idea is it's bigger than one city, so it kind of can expand all over the world, which is clear to see. These spaces are from all over the place, and they all sort of share that non-verbalized ethic of, yeah, we're artists and we're sort of doing this on our own. So here's another space. This is Tilt Export from Portland, Oregon. Here's one of the people that runs it right there, Janine Nagy.
We have 5 artists. 3 are from Portland, 1 is from New York, and 1 is from Atlanta. They're all people that we have worked with previously. What's nice about this opportunity for these guys is we normally do more project-based works that are either large-scale or site-specific, and everybody in this group made works specifically for this venue and for this particular opportunity, and yeah, we're excited to have it.
So can you describe 1 or 2 of them?
Well, what's right behind you is a work by Ben Buswell. He has it listed as an embellished photograph. It's a diptych of 2 black and white images of the ocean, and then he's carved into them with an X-Acto and marked and almost made hash marks of each and every facet on the waves, and then those live as a horizontal diptych. The works by Lauren Clay, which are now behind me, I like that they're really colorful and just so well crafted and really hands-on, and that also is a departure from her work as well. She's normally done these really almost maximal paper sculptures where there's hundreds and hundreds of small tiny paper pieces that make up a larger whole. And then what's happening with these works here is that she's kind of shifted gears a little bit, and instead of using all of that labor to make all of those repetitive marks, she's marbled all of that paper. So it's got this really highbrow, lowbrow sensibility to it, in the sense of like borrowing from the visual vernacular of craft stores or scrapbooking. And then she's made these anti-monumental nods to modernist minimal sculptures.
So now we can talk to these guys over here. We are at the booth of Felt Space, and they're from Adelaide, Australia. They're friends of Raid Projects and Archer and everybody, and we were more than happy to let them have a booth here.
What's going on in your booth?
We've got 4 artists here. 2 of the artists are us. We're co-directors of Felt Space, and the other 2 artists based in Australia. We're a co-director model of a space in Australia called Felt Space, and we've been around since 2008. It's our first time at CoLab as a having a booth in itself.
Are you guys international then?
Yeah, look, over the past 18 months we've been involved with a few different projects back at home, and also I guess working in other countries. Earlier in the year we were in Stockholm for another art fair called Supermarket. So this is our 2nd art fair for the year, which is exciting. We've also brought some American artists and European artists back to exhibit in Australia. A few Californian artists, some New York artists, and from Europe as well.
What's going on here?
It's actually my installation. This is work that sort of came out of the result of sort of large installation I did in South Australia at the Contemporary Arts Centre at the project space there. That installation was called The Cuddly Rapture, and it was this hybrid of post-apocalyptic evangelical diatribes and also hybridising that with the Muppets. And it's by that feeling that you get post-party or post-euphoria, so it's sort of slightly pleasurable but disturbing.
What's your piece?
These are my works here. The paintings are actually process-based. They're from building sculptures, painting timber and then building sculptures and disregarding the sculptures and working with the marking that were left behind. So they're paintings done with spray paint. Unconsciously, the spray falls down and the particles fall down onto the paper and create a painting.
Let's actually go into here, talk to these guys. This is the booth of Neter Proyectos from Mexico City.
Nice to meet you. Alejandro Garcia from Neter Proyectos. We made a little selection of all the artists from the project, and we show the work. And actually, I'm representing the project here in CoLab. So I have some ceramics here and paintings. So it's an amazing experience to be in with all these artists and all these places, because it's a good opportunity to make new relations and start to work together.
So can you tell me a little bit more about Netter Proyectos?
Well, Netter Proyectos was a collective. Original idea was from Axel Velasquez, and he invited us for being part of this. And right now we're having a really bad time because Axel died like a few days ago, and I need to be here and try to explain what exactly was happening. But we're really happy to be part of this, and in some kind of way it's ominous because we was really on the mood that maybe it's not a good idea because it's not a good time. But he was working a lot for this kind of opportunities, and I think the best is to try to still work. He was a great artist too.
Tell me about him.
Axel Velasquez, he was a curator and artist, and he spent the last 10 years just making exhibitions with young artists, trying to take out the work of a lot of Mexican young artists. So it was an amazing work. We're really proud to be friends of this guy.
It's good that you made it here.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We are really happy to be part of this. Yeah, it's amazing.
So can you tell me about something here in your booth?
Yeah, sure. Well, this is the work of Jimena Sleffer. She made a lot of sculptures in ceramic too, and sculptures with paper. And this is Marcos Castro. Marcos Castro actually is one of the most important young artists from Mexico.
Tell me more about him.
About Marcos?
Yeah.
Well, he's been in a lot of another art fairs, like Art Basel in Miami and Maco in Mexico. And I think he was part of our platform too before. So he's having a really good time with his artwork. Ramiro Chavez, he's a photographer from Argentina. All his work was going in Mexico. And Alex Bolio too, he's a great designer, and he made amazing bicycles too. Mariana Magdaleno, she's always working with animals. And well, my work is this. I'm a little bit obsessed with the idea of the dead and the life. And Greta Gamboa, she made these works with sexual reference. And Carlos Olvera, he made music, and so he made a cassette. Cristian Castañeda. So we are a really big collective art group, but we're really happy to be in all together because we are really close friends. So it's amazing to work in this kind of shows right now.
Thank you.
It gives you a pretty good idea of the kinds of spaces we like to have. We offer them the booth space for free, and all these alternative spaces usually work on no budget or little budget at all, and it's all kind of a labor of love. So we try to extend that flavor, that idea, to this whole event.
And Raid Projects?
This is a space I own. It was founded a long time ago by my pal Max Presnell, who helps put on CoLab with me and Colton. It's an international artist residency. The artists come to live there, and it has an exhibition program. Let's just go in there right now. And the work that we have in there now is by past international resident artists. The paintings up on the wall here, which are all rectangular, brushy, abstract paintings that are monochromatic on board and or canvas, are all by Stephen Parise from Sweden. And then the sculpture that we have here is by Tom Dunn, who is from Australia. And like a lot of international residents, got a little obsessed with Hollywood, like so many of them do.
What is it?
It's a mirror with something that appears to be cocaine in the shape of the Paramount logo. And there's a credit card there of Robert Evans and a razor blade and a rolled up dollar bill. And it's dedicated to Hollywood producer Robert Evans, making some kind of connection between all the money he made and all the fun he had in Hollywood in the 70s. So that's what's happening here at Raid Project.
Thank you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks a lot, Christine.
And that concludes my recap of Art Platform Los Angeles. That was an interview with Jason Ramos of Raid Projects and ARTRA. And they curated a grouping of nonprofit art collectives and galleries from around the world and locally from Los Angeles called CoLab. That was at Art Platform Los Angeles.